It's Erev Shavuos, Tavshin Samaches. Our subject today will be about the Yontif of Shavuos coming up, Zaman Matan Torasenu, the time of the giving of our Torah. Now, our objective today is to answer the most simple, straightforward, elementary question about Shavuos, which is, after researching, as we will in a moment, the numerous references to this holiday in the Torah, which this holiday is in effect celebrating, we will see that nowhere is it ever mentioned that this holiday has anything to do with the giving of the Torah. Secondly, it is never in any place in the Torah, anywhere, unlike all the Yom Tovim, it is never defined or described, or even we are never even told the day of the month that this holiday is supposed to fall out on. It never says the 6th of Sivan anywhere. Okay? So that's a weird, that's a weird thing. I mean, that's obviously done intentionally. We never know that this has anything to do with Matan Torah, and unlike every other Yom Tov, it tells us on the seventh month, on the first day, we're never told the month or the day. It's like hidden from us. And the third major philosophical question is, we know our history. We know that the giving of the Torah at Har Sinai, which was accompanied days later, meant to be with the giving of the Luchos, which would concretize what we heard with our ears. We know what happened. And we know the Luchos were broken. And we know that the whole experience of Har Sinai was basically ripped apart. And all we have left is the broken Luchos and the Aron. And only because of Moshe, we have the second Luchos, and there was a second Matah, a second Maimed Har Sinai. And so we are celebrating Zaman Matan Torasenu, an event that kind of ended in disaster. Okay? It wasn't... It kind of ended for us, based because of who we were. You know, it was, you know, a day that ended for us is, in a sense, a unfortunate memory. What could have been so great was lost. We lost a little bit of what happened that day, and yet it's forever after celebrated. And the Yom Kippur, which really is the day of the giving of the second Luchos, which are the Luchos we kept. Is a theme in Yom Kippur, but it's not the dominant theme. The dominant theme is Kapara and Slicha. So this becomes a day of giving of the Torah. So we're here to, first of all, do some research and see how all the Yom Tovim are described and how unusual and out of, you know, place is the description of this Yom Tov. So, first of all, let's look in Emor, which is page 684. Perek Chaf Gimel, 23. Starting with Pasuk Tes Zayin. Okay, starting with Pasuk 16. So, actually, let's go back. The way this Yontif is described is, you should count from the day after HaShabbos, which we know Chazal teach us means the day after Pesach. Now, what day is that? What day of the month? The 15th of Nisan. Because the 14th of Nisan, Bein Ha'arbayim in the evening, that's when you prepare the Korban Pesach. We spoke about this. The Yontif of Pesach is a few hours long. It's on the 14th towards evening. Starting the 15th at night is the Yontif of Chag HaMatzos, which lasts for 7 days. And the day after that first day of Chag HaMatzos, which is the 16th of Nisan, okay, you start counting and you bring the Omer and you count 7 complete weeks until... Pasuk 16. After the 7th complete week, which means after the 49th day, which means the 50th day, you tisperu chamishim yom. It makes it very clear, 50 days from when you started counting. You bring a mincha chadash al Hashem, a new offering. Go through the next few psukim. It tells us that you shall bring a bread offering, or offering two loaves. Tells you what it should be made of, fine flour, leavened bread, chametz. This is a first offering to Hashem. And in addition to the offering, you bring lambs of the first year and a bull, 2 rams. These are all the, also other kinds of offerings. And there's a meal offering, etc. And tells you the karbanos of the day. And the Kohen will wave them. And then on Pasuk Chaf Aleph 21, without telling you what month or what day it is, Ukarasem Be'etzem Hayom Hazeh, on this very day, you shall call it holy, make it a special moed, and do no malacha. Okay? Let's contrast that to the yontif that comes right before that. So turn back a page. Okay? For example, page 682, Pasuk Hey. B'chodesh HaRishon, on the first month, that's Nisan, first month for Jewish history, you know, Tishrei is the first month for Briyas HaOlam, creation of the world. It tells you, Ba'arba Asar L'chodesh, on the 14th day. Bein Harbayim, you know, in the Bein Harbayim is the evening time. This is the day you offer Pesach LaHashem. And then Bechamisha Asar Yom, and then on the 15th day, L'chodesh Hazeh, Chag HaMatzos. It tells you directly what month and what day. After this, we have that funny pasuk which we've spoken about. Remember the hint to Rus? Look into pasuk Chaf Gimel Chaf Dalet, which goes into Rosh Hashanah. Dabrel B'nei Yisrael Lemor, B'chodesh HaShavi, on the 7th month from Nisan, Be'echod L'chodesh, on the first day, you're going to have a Yom of a Shabbos, a day of Shabbos, Zichron Teruah. That's Rosh Hashanah. Keep going. Pasuk Chavav, 26. On the 10th day of the 7th month. In other words, in every single yontif, the month and the day is clearly defined for us. Except not here. Now, Emor is not the only place that speaks about the Moadim. It's one of the two main sources about the Moadim. Emor is primarily speaking about the Kedush of the day, Kol Melechas Avodah Lo Sasu, and the mitzvahs of the day. But there's another source, which is Pinchas. Pinchas is where we find also a description of all of the Moadim. And if we look in Pinchas, Perek Chaf Ches, which is on page 892. Okay. Pasuk Chavav. Now, let's go back a little bit before we do that. Pasuk Yud Zayin, 17. Ubachodesh HaRishon, on the first month, that's Nisan. Ba'arba Asar Yom L'chodesh, on the 14th day of the month, Pesach LaHashem. Ubachamisha Asar Yom, and on the 15th day, it's also a holy day. Shivas Yomim Matos Yeyachel. And then it tells you all the Karbanas Hayom. Pinchas, you find the Karbanas Hayom. Emor, by the way, you find the Mitzvah Hayom. Look down to Pasuk Chavav. Ubayom Habikurim. That's all it says. Describing Shavuos. On the day of the Bikurim, Bahakrivchem Mincha Chadash Al Hashem, when you bring the new offering, Ubishvuos Seichem, in your weeks, Mikra Kodesh Yelachem, and it tells you the Karbanos. It never tells you the day or the year. Same pattern. But it does give this day a name, and what is the name of it? Right, so here we see B'Shavuos Seichem. It's called Shavuos. Now, it told us that it's the 50th day since you were counting. It told us it's Be'etzem Hayom Hazeh. It's on this day. Here we at least have a name for the day. It's B'Shavuos Seichem, on the day of Shavuos. And that is the name that the Torah generally will use, always will use, to describe this holiday, which is associated with Bikurim, by the way. Just for a moment, we lose that whole facet of Bikurim because we're not attached anymore to the land. Most of us are not farmers, and the mitzvah doesn't exist anymore. There's a bitul here, unfortunately, a bitul Torah, that a mitzvah is batul. But Shavuos began the season, the summer season of bringing Bikurim, which you could bring throughout the entire summer, your first fruits. And it was a very festive season, and it really was a time where all over Eretz Yisrael, throughout the entire summer, whole communities, whole villages, with marching bands and music and decorations and a whole festive party would make their way to Yerushalayim, and as they'd go from village to village, the people would come out and greet them, and it was a whole big hullabaloo through the summer, and very exciting, I'm sure, and a happy time for everybody. And we've spoken about this also in the past, but that part is associated, of course, with Shavuos. Shavuos begins that. But no mention of Matan Torah, no mention of the day of the month, but it's called, at least it's given a name, it's called Shavuos. Now, that name crops up again. Look in Shemos, Perek Lamid Dalid Pasuk, Chafbez. That would be on page 512. The Chag Shavuos Taseh Lecha. It's called Shavuos, and it's the festival of the weeks, and you bring the first offerings of the wheat harvest. And there again, it's called, and it's described in terms of the times you have to come to Yerushalayim. It's called Shavuos. It's given a name. Look in Devarim, Perek Tes Zayin, page 1022, Pasuk Yud. V'yasisa chag Shavuos laHashem. You make a festival called Shavuos, and also look down in Pasuk Tes Zayin. Three times a year you should see the face of Hashem, so to speak, in the place He chooses. B'chag HaMatzos, b'chag HaShavuos, b'chag HaSukkah. So, calling it Chag HaShavuos is min HaTorah. Okay, clearly min HaTorah. It's called the Festival of the Weeks. Whoever called it Zman Matan Toraseinu, we did. But never in the Torah does it say Zman Matan Toraseinu. It doesn't say to remember the giving of the Torah. There is a special mitzvah in Parshas Veschanan to remember the events of Har Sinai. It says, Raki Shomer Lecha, Ushamar Nafshecha Ma'od, be careful, watch yourself. Pen Tishkachas HaDvarim, don't ever forget, lest you forget the things that your eyes saw. And lest you remove it from your heart, Kol Yimei Chayecha, Yom Asher Amadat Lefnei Hashem Elokecha B'Chorev. Remember the day you stood in front of God at Chorev. There is a mitzvah like that in Parshas Veschanan, but it's not associated with this Yantiv at all min HaTorah. And again, as we said, the day for this Yantiv is never ever given. So the approach that we have to start with is approach Rav Hirsch uses, and question the following. Since the Torah doesn't call it Zman Matan Toraseinu, and the only thing the Torah calls it is Shavuos, 50 days after you started counting, Mimacharas HaPesach, that's what Etzem Hayom Hazeh. So that's what the Torah wants us to know about the Yontif. That is the essence of the Yontif, obviously, if that's what the Torah calls it. And maybe Matan Torah isn't the essence of the Yontif at all, because the Torah doesn't talk about it as the anything related to it. So let's see. If we wanted to set an actual month and a date for this Yontif called Shavuos, how would we go about doing it? Normally, if you want to know what day of the month a Yontif comes out on, what do you go back to? You go to Rosh Chodesh. But not in this case. It has nothing to do with Rosh Chodesh Sivan. It's irrelevant as to when Rosh Chodesh Sivan falls out. So when do you have to go back to? You have to, and how do you set the day for Pesach? Rosh Chodesh Nisan. The way to determine when this holiday falls out is going back to Rosh Chodesh Nisan. Now, if Rosh Chodesh Nisan falls out on a particular day, 14 days later is Chag HaPesach, the 15th is Chag HaMatzos, the 16th you start counting, and on the 50th day, that will be this holiday. However, reality is that months can be mole or chaser. They can have 29 days or 30 days. Okay, so technically, depending on if Nisan, Iyar, and Sivan, 3 months, have 29 days or 30 days, let's say they all have 30 days. So the Gemara tells us that the 50th day can be either the 5th, the 6th, or the 7th, depending on if they're all Chasser or all Mole, if they all have 29 or they all have 30. It could come out on either the 5th, 6th, or the 7th. There is no designated day of the month for this holiday called Shavuos. It's not attached to a day of the month, as all the other holidays are. Now, the reason it always comes out on Vav Sivan is very technical, because when Hillel established the calendar, he made one mole and one chaser, and that's it. So therefore, it always ends up on Vav Sivan. However, the Gemara tells us, Hashem never gave the Torah, as you all know, on Vav Sivan anyway. Moshe added an extra day to the 3 days of preparation. It's a discussion in and of itself. And Hashem gave the Torah on Zion Sivan. So it comes out that the day we celebrate as the day of Shavuos is the 6th of Sivan, according to the Gemara, the day before Matan Torah. That's the facts. Okay? We are celebrating the day before Matan Torah. According to everybody, that's the case. And therefore, simply speaking, the Torah doesn't tell you that the day you celebrate is the day of Matan Torah, because it isn't. Simply, it just isn't the day of Matan Torah. So then what is it? Well, it's 50 days after the 16th of Nisan. That's really what it is. It's after we've counted 7 complete weeks, and it's called Atzeret. It's the end of the Pesach process. Just like Shmini Atzeret is the end of the Sukkot process, Pesach is the end of the Shavuos is the end of the Pesach process. So Rav Hirsch explains, based on all this information, which, by the way, if you ever want a technical but super clear explanation of any halacha, like, for example, we're not even doing Parshas Naso, which has Sota and Nazir in it, but if you want to really understand those type of laws, just always go to Rav Hirsch. It's so clear. It's laid out like a chart, practically, how these halachas work, and it's very insightful. You get so much clarity. By the way, they just printed the new version of Hirsch. The original translation was, you know, you had to really be committed to get through it. It was done in a translation from the flowery and wordy German. This is a much more, you know, succinct and efficient translation. No. I don't think so. I think this was done by Feldheim, of course. Feldheim does all his Yekish and did all the Hirsch stuff. In any case, so if Hirsch is the place to go for your first, you know, analysis of any type of complicated thing. By the way, talking about Hirsch, one of the best Sfarim you can buy to explain any mitzvah, even the Chukim, the Mishpatim, the Eidus, the Torahs, all the mitzvahs, is the book Chorev. It should be required reading by everybody. It's a fundamental book. Rav Hirsch put so much effort into bringing Torah to the reform of his generation who didn't think Torah was relevant. And it's, what he did for them is just as relevant for us. And you get a ton of information also from Chorev. It's a good reference book to always have in the house. But anyway, back to our subject. So the way Rav Hirsch deals with it is he explains the following in his own words. The day that is elevated to a festival, actually the translator's words, the day that is elevated to a festival is not the day of the revelation of Sinai, period. It is the final day of the counting leading up to that great day. In other words, for the view that has been accepted by the nation is that the festival of Shavuos on the day before the law giving is the day that we celebrate our making ourselves worthy of receiving the Torah. Matan Torah is the day we call Shavuos because we're so grateful that we prepared and we made ourselves worthy of something, a gift we got then that was way out of proportion to what we really were prepared for. So we call it Matan as in Matana. It was a gift. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu calls it Shavuos. You counted 7 weeks and you built yourself up and you made yourself worthy so that I could be allowed to give you a Torah. In other words, HaKadosh Baruch Hu looks at this yontiv and calls it our achievement, and we look at this yontiv and call it the great gift HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us. But Rav Hirsch is pointing out here that that is why it has everything to do with when we started counting and when we completed counting, and it has less to do with what actually happened after we finished counting. Which is why the Aseres HaDibros themselves, as we all know, have no greater status than any other mitzvah. Right? And the Har Sinai, we don't know where it is. And it doesn't matter, really, the place that it took place on, you know, the exact mountain. And it doesn't even matter for these purposes that we, unfortunately, had to work towards a second Luchos. Because what this is talking about is that human beings, through their best effort, can make themselves worthy of a supernatural, free gift of Hashem's Chachma that can be given and integrated into the human mind. Now, if we didn't know that we had the right to investigate the Torah, we wouldn't have the audacity to imagine that we could. That we could try to penetrate God's mind, that the human brain, which is so puny and limited, could actually attempt to contemplate and understand God's mind, we wouldn't even have the right to go there. In fact, the only reason we have the right, my grandfather points this out in the Sefer, to even try to understand the Torah and try to work with it and even question it and debate over it and divide it up into categories and analyze it and use scientific methods to figure out what it's really saying. Scientific methods as in the 13 Midah Shatorah Nidreshes and the 13 rules that you may use to understand Torah and to derive things from Torah. The only reason that we even have a right to do this is because of one word associated with Matan Torah. One little word that seems so simple, it's often misused. So many times here we discuss words. Words that seem like throwaways, you know? And we realize that these words are not simple. When the Torah uses them, they're laden with meaning. The only reason we have a right, permission to investigate the Torah and attach our minds to God's mind is because it says, Vayered Hashem al Har Sinai. Now Hashem doesn't move from place to place. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is everywhere at all times. So the word Vayered can't mean anything practical. So Vayered, according to my grandfather, means that he descended into human consciousness, human understanding, into the limited human mind. He descended into our realm and therefore allowed us with our mind to try to understand the Torah. By the way, this explains two other interesting or out of character behaviors of Avraham and Moshe Rabbeinu. Both patriarchs, really. Avraham argued with Hashem regarding Sodom, and he did so in a way that we might think was a little audacious, you know, like, Shofet Kol Haaretz, you know, the judge of the whole world, you know, is not going to do justice, Chalila, you know, God. And we say, how could Avraham talk to HaKadosh Baruch Hu like this? And in contrast, when Hashem told him to bring Yitzchak on the Akedah, he didn't say a word. He argued on behalf of Sodom, but he didn't say a word on behalf of his own child. And they were Rishayim. What did the world need them for? What benefit would there be to maintaining them anyway? So my grandfather explains there that the only reason Avraham had permission to ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu how he is conducting the world and what his methods are and didn't seem right to Avraham is because right before that it says, Hashem said, I am going to come down, the Ered, and I'm going to see about the cry of Sodom and Amorah. Hashem doesn't have to descend, and he doesn't descend. He's not like a gas, and he could be concentrated into a liquid or a solid, and he's more in one place and less in another place. The fact is, Hashem said, I will come down to investigate the whole uproar because of Sodom. Coming down means I will let you, Avraham, who I'm going to reveal to you now that I intend to destroy them, understand my methods, which I don't always give permission to humans to do. And therefore, Avraham attempted to, and he said, well, I don't understand, it seems to me this Adin, it doesn't seem just. By Moshe too. Remember how Moshe spoke to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the beginning, at the end of Parsha Shemos? Me'oz bati el Paro, from the time I came to Paro, Hatzel lo hitzalti, you haven't saved this nation, I've come to speak in your name and you haven't done anything. And we're shocked how Moshe can argue, what is your methods? He's asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what are you doing? What are your methods? I came, I spoke, nothing happened, now it's worse. How are you playing this out? It doesn't make sense. The only reason Moshe had a right to do that is because, same thing, by Mitzrayim Hashem says, I'm going to come down, and I'm going to hear, I heard their cries, the Ered, I'm going to come down. Come down means I'm going to come down for a moment into your mind and allow you to see how I operate in this world. And Moshe didn't quite understand it. Hashem said, don't worry, in the beginning of the era, you're going to see it now. So, by the way, this is how careful you have to be in learning Torah, how Torah is a science. Just because Avraham and Moshe argued with HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not, therefore, a license for anybody to question Hashem's methods. It isn't a precedent at all. Because they, in those cases, it says Vayered. And when it doesn't say Vayered, there's no right, period. We're just makabel, we just accept. And therefore, when it came to the Akedah, not a word is uttered by Avraham, period. So it's careful reading. The Torah is like, you know, Hirsch explains this. It is its own science and it follows its own rules and you just can't go through it with a, you know, like a bull in a china shop without noticing all the nuances. So here, the only reason a human being can even aspire to understand the mind of God himself is because it says, Vayered Hashem al Har Sinai. That gives us permission to study Torah. Otherwise, it would have been a one-way street. These are my laws, no comments, no questions, and there would have never, ever been Torah Shebaal Peh, and there would have never, ever been human initiative, and there would never be a Chiddush, and we'd be robots. So the whole Torah that we're used to is a product of the Vayered. So what we're saying here is that the day that we celebrate as Shavuos is a day that we became worthy of the gift that we call Torah. Now, when we say that we receive the gift, and that's why we call it Zman Matan Torah Seinu, we really see it as a gift. Now, what kind of gift, though? This goes back to that famous little story, that famous little medrash, and we've mentioned this time and time again, and just for a moment here, a basic question that everybody talks about, especially with Shavuos, your kids will for sure mention it, you know. Before Hashem gave the Torah to the Jewish people, he went to all the Amim, and he offered them the Torah. And he went to the Yishmaelim, and he said, do you want the Torah? And the Yishmaelim said, what's in it? And they said, don't kill. He said, that's not for us, or don't steal. Right? Don't steal. And then they went to Esav, what's in it? Don't kill. It's not for me. Okay, so he gave it to the Torah. They, you know, they took it, you know, without asking any questions. What does that mean? The basic question, as you know, on that medrash, it's a glaring question. What do you mean? What's in it? Don't kill. Okay, we don't want it. Okay, goodbye. They're chayiv and don't kill anyway. Seven mitzvos b'nei Noah. What's in it? Don't steal. Okay, fine. We don't want it. Okay, goodbye. But they're chayiv and don't steal. What is the whole thing talking about? They're not relieved of any obligations. What was Hashem offering them and what did they reject? Certainly not the basic mitzvahs.
A relationship with them.
So that's what we call it matan. My grandfather points out it's from matana. What HaKadosh Baruch Hu was offering them is a whole new form of existence. They're always obligated in the Sheva Mitzvahs. By the way, interesting, a side point, very important side point, just to be aware of. Rambam in Hilchos Melachim says that when a non-Jew keeps the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach, it must be because they were told to Moshe at Har Sinai. Because of the Torah that was given at Har Sinai. Not because it's an ancient tradition going way back to early history. Not because it's common sense. Not because there's a God in the world, some type of amorphous thing, but because Moshe at Har Sinai received the Torah, including Sheva Mitzvos B'nei Noach, which means to say that a non-Jew cannot be called Chasidei Umos HaOlam, even if they're moral, unless the reason they're keeping the mitzvahs is because it's given to by Hashem on Har Sinai. And that means that the Kodesh Baruch Hu interfered in history, told humans what to do, and is watching and is caring. It's a relationship with the Kodesh Baruch Hu, not just my own feeling that it's a good thing to do. It creates a bond with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. We're doing it because it's a mitzvah that Hashem gave to us in this world. In any case, so what Hashem was offering them and what we accepted is a gift. The gift that David HaMelech describes in Tehillim with these words, Torascha besoch mei. Your Torah is inside me. I can no longer separate it. It's not knowledge that's attached to me. It's not an appendage. It's not outside knowledge that I learn and I abide by. It's become totally integrated into the person. And that's why, interestingly enough, in the Pesach, you know, one of the songs we sing at the end of the Seder is, you know, who knows one, Echad mi yodea. And everything has to do with Judaism except one part. Nine. Teisha mi yodea. What is who 9 months before baby's born? It's not Jewish. Everything else is Jewish. Mishnah, Chamisha Chumshei Torah, right, 6 Mishnah and 7 Shabbos and 8 is Mila. Everything is Jewish, but 9 months before a baby is born. So my grandfather points out here, those 9 months we have a tradition that the neshama is learning Torah, that the neshama is understanding everything, and it's become so integrated, it's part of the person's psyche, it's part of the person's, you know, emotions and mind and heart, so that when they come out, they forget, as we say, they start off new, but therefore learning Torah is not really learning Torah ever for the first time. It's all about returning, recapturing. And this is now the secret that we come to regarding what we're celebrating, what is our avoda on this day of Shavuos, which is the day before Matan Torah. What is it all about? It's all about returning to that point where we were worthy of the Matana, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us something that we no longer can separate from ourselves. You know, in the beginning, what animated man were the words Nase Adam? Let's make man, the royal we. That brought man to life. But that man, which was for 2,000 years, the first 2,000 years of history, which are called Tohu Vavohu, separated from God, not in a close connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in a time of Hester, of darkness, until Matan Torah. that man died at Matan Torah, right? We know that when Hashem started saying the Dibros, they died flat out. What revived them? What revived Klal Yisrael is no longer Nase Adam, let us make a man as distinct in their own mind from God, but Anochi Hashem Elokecha, and Lo Yelocha Elohim Acherim, the first two Dibros, which we heard, Peh El Peh, mouth to mouth, which reminds us of the neshama that Hashem blew into the person. So what we brought man to life the second time around, the Jewish people, were the words Anochi Hashem Elokecha. That means that what gives life to a person, whether they know it or not, is the inside them pulses an awareness Anochi Hashem Elokecha and Lo Yelocha Elohim Acherim. And if a person, and when we say Lo Yelocha, don't have other gods, it means don't distract yourself. Don't put your faith in anything else. Don't imagine that you have any identity other than one that is yearning and seeking for God, because that's what happened at Har Sinai. And if a Jewish person tries to separate the Torah from themselves, they do so at great peril, great pain. They don't do well. A Jew who separates themselves from Torah doesn't do well. Not when their neshama, which is always alive, is still glimmering in there. And the neshama rejects that. And it causes a lot of pain and a lot of neurosis and idiosyncrasy and pushing in all kinds of directions that are destructive. So what we achieved the day before the giving of the Torah is ready to accept the Torah, ready to allow it to enter us with no reservations, with no filters, ready to receive the matana that would forever change us and make us crave, really crave, and make us realize also that accepting the Torah is not a choice. Accepting the Torah was not a choice. When we said Nasa v'Nishma, we might have still been in the delusion that it was a choice. For when Hashem put the mountain over our heads, which we didn't really need because we already said Nasa v'Nishma, it taught us that despite our best efforts, despite how much we want to accept the Torah, we have to know that there's an aspect of Torah, the main aspect, which is that it's muchrach. It's there's no option but Torah anymore for a Jew. That's the mountain over their heads. We had to know that despite the fact that we volunteered, that we accepted it, that we said Nasa v'Nishma, we should never imagine that we could have said no, or that it was something we chose to add to our lives. The mountain over our heads reminds us that it's muchrach. There could be no life in a Jewish people without a Torah. So what we're trying to recapture, return to, you might say, on the day before the giving of the Torah, is the openness of our heart and our soul to let the Torah that Hashem gives us as a matana, which is within a Jewish person and has the ability to transform a person in a certain, even some people consume them, and that for great righteous people is the other danger on the other side, that should be allowed to fan, you know, that little flame should be allowed to, fan it, be fanned into a big fire once more. And that's why you find a lot of references to our relationship with Torah are termed in using the words of return, returning to Torah, returning like the baby who learned everything, returning to the time when we were open to receiving the Torah. So even though we lost the event of Har Sinai ended in smash luchos, it doesn't really detract from what happened before Matan Torah, that at that moment we were open. And then we failed, but then we could be open again, which we were at Purim and throughout Jewish history. So for example, in Shmona Esrei, the bracha for Torah starts with the word Hashivenu, return us. Return us to your Torah. Now, Hashem never took unilateral steps to give us a Torah when we weren't asking for it. Only when we asked for the Torah did Hashem give it to us. He said, I have an offer for you. I'm offering it to you. Are you hungry? If you can offer somebody food, if they're not hungry, the most delicious delicacies are of no interest to them. So Hashem said, are you hungry for it? And we said, yes, we wanted. That was our nasa a few times. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave it to us. And so what we're asking for is return us to your Torah. And that means help us find ourselves again so that we should be open to the Torah that you're always giving us, which we'll speak about in a minute. Also, Tehillim Perek Yud Tes, Pasuk Tes. How is Torah described? Toras Hashem Tamima, Meshivas nefesh, it restores the soul, or it responds to the yearnings of your soul. Your soul is yearning, the Torah is an answer. The Torah and the mitzvahs are an answer. It's a response to the yearning. When did the yearning start? That was the gift of Har Sinai. It was implanted into us. So even if we would fall later, that could never be taken away from the Jewish people. That was the matana that the non-Jews did not receive. They certainly had the mitzvahs that they had to do, but it's not part of them, inseparable from them. It's something outside that they're obligated, that they abide by, and they're putter, then they're done. You know, they're yotze and they're finished. By us, what we received at Har Sinai, Matan Torah has never left us. And it can always be found once more. In fact, there's a little story he brings down here, Aaron Lopiansky in Timepieces, that some teacher was sent out to teach Torah in out of the way places, people who had become amaratzim and didn't know much. So he went and reported back to his teacher. Well, I went to fill in the letters that have been kind of eroded over the years. I went to fill them in. So he says, you didn't go fill in any erased letters. You simply blew the dust out of the grooves of the engraved letters that were always there. That's how we see it. Shir HaShirim, which is basically a plea by Klal Yisrael, once we've fallen back into our slumber, our darkness, our confusion, the second pasuk, Yishakeni Minashikos Piyu, let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. You know, this was going to be sealed because it's easy to misinterpret. But the Mefarshim explained there that the kisses of his mouth, that's the first two dibros that we heard Peh El Peh that gave us life, that restored our life. Where the two breaths, the neshama that Hashem breathed into us and Hashem's breath and neshama were one. That's what we're trying to get back to. When we were so intimate with HaKadosh Baruch Hu that we were asking for the restoration of that life-giving force. And now Rus, there's an emphasis in Rus in the same concept of returning. Returning to something that is deeply embedded in the person. And in Rus, Perek Aleph Pasuk Chaf Beis, and you know this Pasuk, the famous Pasuk. Here, Perek Aleph Pasuk Chaf Beis. The Tasha of Naomi returned. The Rus HaMoavia, Kalasa Ima, and Rus the Moabite, her daughter-in-law with her, Hashava Mistei Moav. She's returning from the stay of Moav. Where was she lost back there? You know when she was lost. She was lost when Lot left Avraham and ended up in Sodom, which is where her great grandfather was Moav, the child of Lot and his daughters, right? That's when she was lost, when Lot separated from Avraham, and she's coming back. Also in Rus, by the way, when she marries Boaz in the end of Perek Dalid, and you know that leads to Oved, which eventually leads to David HaMelech, Perek Dalid, Pasuk Tesvav, they told her, and these are the words the Torah is used to, describes Torah, V'tomarna ha'nashim el Na'ami, then the women said to Na'ami, blessed be Hashem who has not left you without a Redeemer today, may His name be famous in Israel. And then the next pasuk says, V'haya lach l'meshiv nefesh, He will be for you a restorer of your soul. Now we were talking about eventually David HaMelech. David HaMelech was born, died on Shavuos. Shavuos is the time where a person has a possibility of restoration of their neshama, which then allows Hashem to give the Torah to us and allows us to receive the Torah. David HaMelech was the one who exemplifies for us an open heart, someone who will bring the hearts of the Jewish people once more, open them up and allow the Torah to revive them. And therefore, David HaMelech is also associated, and the concept of Meshiv Nefesh is also associated with Tchiyas HaMesim. And Mashiach is associated with Tchiyas HaMesim, because what ultimately restores the person, it was the final restoration of the neshama to the body, living together in perfect harmony. There's also a sub-theme in Mashiach of the total restoration of the nefesh. In this world, somehow, in a way we can't imagine it, that's also associated with Shavuos. That's why we say, David Melech Yisrael, Chai V'Kayam. He's always not subject to death. The main idea here, and to wrap this up, is that the question is, what did we experience? How did we get this matana? How was it given to us? In what form? Were we awakened, and did we receive the total integration of Torah into our minds that we can't really ever divorce ourselves from it, whether we want to or not? And we just find our, what we were asking Hashem to help us with is find ourselves that it will be open, will desire to have the Torah fill us and guide us and be our identity and not be resistant to that. So the Rambam and the Ramban have a little machlokus of what actually was the main experience of that time called the time of the giving of the Torah. And there are two names, basically, which define the two primary experiences of that time. Both are part of the gift. One is called Ma'amad Har Sinai, and one is called Matan Torah. Okay? We call this day the day of Matan Torah. Basically, Ma'amad Har Sinai was the experience we had when we saw beyond the shadow of a doubt through our eyes opening and the supernatural events of that time and Hashem's call that we heard. We knew there is HaKadosh Baruch Hu and He's everything. And is everything that we imagine is separate is just we're just fooling ourselves and it's just a illusion. Hashem Einod Milvado. There's nothing but a Kadosh Baruch Hu in this world, and we experienced that because the entire world participated in Ma'amad Har Sinai. And Rambam tells us, the pasuk tells us, you heard a call, and Rambam says, be careful here. Rambam, there's a Machlokas Ramban, says what happened was those first two divros, you heard a call. You heard a piercing voice, a sound, but you heard no words. You didn't hear, Rambam says, from Hashem, Anochi Hashem Elokecha lo yelecha. You heard a sound that said, I am God and there's nothing else, without using any words. It was evident that the world was all the creation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, every atom in the world. Then Moshe said, that experience you just had, that sound you heard, you know what that translates into words? You heard, Anochi Hashem Elokecha lo yelecha. But they knew that before Moshe told them the actual words that message was giving them. That was the events of Ma'amad Har Sinai, never to be erased from the Jewish neshama. Ramban says, in addition to that, there was Matan Torah, which is that every Jewish person became a Navi at that moment and heard the will of Hashem in mitzvos. They actually did hear the first two dibros, and they heard it as a mitzvah, the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that Hashem wants something from us and tells us exactly what it is. We can't pretend that didn't happen. We can't ignore it except at our own detriment. Those are the two events that make up the gift of Har Sinai, an experience that said, Ein od milvado, there's nothing else. And all our callings are in that direction, whether we want to admit it or not. One day we will. Hopefully, even sometimes Hashem sends us experiences that make us open to that. And the other part of the gift is that there are mitzvahs to guide us, practical things to lead us on the path to being close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to having a personal relationship with Hashem. Now, we know, to end, that of all the pleasures in the world that any human being can experience, okay, they're all fleeting. Anything that has to do with the five senses is fleeting. Doesn't last. The only pleasure that stays with a person forever, okay, is in the end, or the greatest of all pleasures, actually takes place in the mind. Everybody's experienced this, I believe, sometimes, and there's nothing to compare it to. When you intuitively know something, which as Jews we intuitively know emes, and then you learn something that clarifies what you knew anyway, that gives it a name or gives it a word or shows where it comes from. You feel like the light just went on and something you really knew all of a sudden bursts into bloom in such, with so many nuances and with such clarity and truth that you know it's true. And there's an exhilarating feeling of that kind of learning. That is the learning that the Jewish people have been gifted with. A learning not of general, just random knowledge, but knowledge that when we hear it, we sense its truth, And it creates an excitement in a person that can't really be described or compared to any other type of pleasure. We ask the Kodesh Baruch Hu every day in davening, Baharevna, make it sweet for us. It's a special gift, and it comes from effort too, to learn and to open ourselves up that we get to a point where we enjoy that sweetness more and more frequently. So part of this holiday of making ourselves worthy is always commemorated with learning Torah, obviously. Learning the Torah that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us as a gift, because learning Torah is pleasure. And the more a person learns, the more they need to learn. You know, it's not like this. We can compare it to this. The difference between an adult and a child is not that the child eats less because he wants less, and the adult eats more because the adult wants more. The adult needs more. The more you person grows, the more they must have. So it's the same thing with Chachma. When we realize that that Hashem has given us a gift and we just have to find it, and through learning we'll experience it, then the more a person delves into Chachma and has that sense, the more they want that sense, until some people are totally consumed with that. And all they want to do is learn and learn above all things. And nothing else really can supply them with the same type of excitement. So we want to get a glimpse of that, a little bit of glimpse of that on this day that we were worthy of that to begin with. So we put in the effort, we stay up all night, some people, and try to recapture a sense of that. And this will bring us to a point where we'll need it more. And we'll become more dependent on it, and then that leads a person down a particular road. And that's a bracha. That makes us who we are. I wish everybody a wonderful Yantiv. We'll see you Meretz Hashem next week.